I'm going to read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and invite you to follow along as I read, as we continue in our study in the book of 1 John, his letter, the first of his three. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? On this Mother's Day, I want to ask you a question I think would be fitting. You don't need to give me an answer, please. It might be embarrassing. Do you love your mother-in-law? Oh, okay, answer it if you want to. Do you love your mother-in-law or do you not? In most cases, let me say this. Your love for your mother-in-law is preceded by your love for their child. Right? I would think. Not many people get married to pick a bride out because they love her mother. So you fall in love with the daughter, or you fall in love with the husband, and therefore you love the mother-in-law. Or at least you learn to tolerate them, whatever the case might be. I hope you love them. A couple of weeks ago, for the break last week, we talked about our love for God and our love for other people. We talked about the fact that there is a connection between the two. There is a connection between our love for God and our love for other people. John has told us in verse 21 that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the one who loves God will love God's children. The one who loves God will love God's children. That's a natural result of loving God. You will love His children. You may not like them, but you'll love them, right? At least you'll love them. In chapter 4, verse 7, we looked at a few weeks ago that John says, everyone who loves is born of God. Everyone who loves is born of God. And then we get to chapter 5, verse 1, and once again, he talks about, in chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He gets back to the topic again, being born of God. And he says, the one who's born of God loves God and he loves other people. Wow. If you're born of God, you're going to love God and you're going to love other people, is what John says. And John continues throughout his letter, to talk about reality and the certainty of being one who's born of God. And helping us to understand how we can know that is the case in our own lives and how we can somewhat discern it in the lives of other people as well. Just as many people have unique birthmarks, and I don't know what your birthmark is, and you don't need to show it to me. But people do have birthmarks, and many of them are unique to them, right? There may be some similarities, but you have a unique birthmark. John seems to be referring, I believe, in this text, to our spiritual birthmarks. Spiritual birthmarks that are common, not unique, but that are common to all who are born of God. To all believers, These are common birthmarks, I believe, is what John is trying to get across to us. The new birth, he is saying, leaves the same marks upon each of us. We're unique people, I understand that. And the life of Christ lived out through us is going to be a little different. But he's talking about common birthmarks that are true of all who are born of God. Therefore, in chapter 5 of 1 John, verses 1 through 5, we will discover today some characteristics of one who is born of God. Some characteristics that are true of one who is born of God. The first is in verses 2 and 3. And that is that he has love expressed through obedience. He has love which is expressed through obedience. And we see in verse 2 that what John is talking about is uniting the two loves. Uniting the two loves. Love for God that he's talked about and love for his children which go hand in hand, he's saying. The love of God and the love of God's people, God's children, God's family are inseparable parts of the same experience, William Barclay says. They're inseparable parts of the same experience. We love God and we express that love to others. Someone has said that it is just as impossible to love the children of God without loving God as it is to love God without loving his children. So the point John is making is that the two go together. We love God and we love his children. There was an editor of a local newspaper who was interviewing a poet who had come along and wanted to have the newspaper print her poetry. And what was her poetry about but love? And so the editor read it, and he was disgusted. And he had taken all he could take as he told her, the love that you're talking about, you're using all these moons and Junes and other sticky sentiments. He says, I'm sorry, lady, but you just do not know what love is all about. It's not moonlight and roses. It's sitting up all night at a sick bed. It's working extra hours to provide for your family. It's giving up something for the sake of another. The world doesn't need your brand of poetical love. What the world needs is good old-fashioned, practical love. We looked at it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Not in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth, in action. Practical expressions of love toward others that comes because we love God. And we're born of him. I believe the two are united. Love for God and love for others. Therefore, when we love God, we will express love to others in practical, tangible ways. But he also not only talks about love expressed through obedience by uniting the two loves together as one, but also, he says, identifying obedience with love. He identifies obedience with love. The middle of verse 2, when we love God and we observe his commandments, for this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. True love issues in obedience, and true love may be identified with obedience to God. Obedience is the proof of love. And I say this, if it is joyful obedience, It is love and is obedience out of love, like a child who lovingly serves, a child who lovingly obeys a loving father. It's not someone saying, I'm going to do it because I have to. Someone who says, I'm going to obey because I want to. When we love God, we will obey. You say 100% of the time? No, I did not. But we will. The characteristic of our life will be that we are those who are obeying out of love for God. William Barclay also says this, for love, no duty is too hard and no task is too great. In other words, I won't just love when it's convenient, but I will love even when it's inconvenient. I will love when it's very difficult. I will still love. Why? Because I love God, and that love is going to be expressed by loving others and by obeying God and loving as He loved me. Let me ask you a question. We've talked on and on again, because John talks on and on again about it. And I believe if John's going to repeat it, it's worth repeating. Because he's guided by the Holy Spirit. He's inspired to write the words by the Holy Spirit of God. And for some reason, and I know if for no other reason, because of me, God has keep pounding it in my head. If you love God, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will express that love to others. That will be the characteristic of your life. That will be a trait, that will be a birthmark that you will love. Now, we've talked about love, and love is just not gooey mushy. Love can be tough at times, too. Let's keep that in mind. You love people and you do the difficult thing in expressing that love for them and toward them, even when it hurts you. You still love. Why? Because you want to obey God, because you love Him. And out of love for Him, you express love, no matter how tough it might be. But my question for you is love, loving obedience, is loving obedience your mark? Does that mark your life? Does that characterize your life? Would that be said of you by other people? We talked a little bit about being light. Matthew 5, being light in this world of darkness, and how that is to come about through you and me, who are the light put in this world as light in a world of darkness. And I can tell you, loving obedience to God is one thing they need to see. Is loving obedience your mark? Verse 4 and 5, he also says that a birthmark that should be characteristic of all believers, all who are born of God, is that He has faith resulting in victory. He has faith resulting in victory. For whatever, verse 4, is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our lives should be characterized by having faith that results in victory. And he talks in verse 4, I believe, first of all, about the victory won. The victory won. By whom? By Christ. He won the victory. We have victory in Jesus. Why? Because He came, He took on human flesh, He suffered, and He died, and He paid the price for our sin, and He rose victorious over death to give us victory. He won the victory, folks. Kind of neat. You know, it's like those teams that just kind of get a victory handed to them. I mean, He handed us victory. He won the victory. It is not a man, but it's His birth from God which overcomes, which conquers. And it comes, according to verse 4, by faith. By what? By faith, by trust in Him and His finished work, what He has done on our behalf. Not what we've done, but what He has done. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. Into the marvelous light, out of darkness He has brought us. He is the one who accomplished it. John 16:33, Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. In Me you will have peace. I have overcome the world." Did you hear that? I have overcome. Jesus saying, "I have overcome the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith and trust. And look real quick at verse 4, the second half. The victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's in the past tense. That is something that once and for all happened. Christ did it. And through our faith and trust in Him, at some point in time, we entered into that victory. Through our faith and trust in Christ, we experience the victory that He says, "I have overcome." At conversion, through Him, by faith and trust in Him, we have overcome. Now, hang on, we're going to get there. We're not there yet, but that happened. We have entered into that victory through what Christ has done for us. He won the victory, folks. And I think about the protest in the civil rights movement, especially when there was oppression, where there was unfair, unjust treatment of people because of the color of their skin. And I know in my town, one of the things when the little marches would go on would be, "We shall overcome." And I can remember hearing that. And then I think about what we are reading today. It's not "we shall," folks. We have. Because of His work, we have overcome. We've beat death. We've beat sin. And we have eternal life. And we have the victory even over death. Because He is the overcomer. We have overcome because He has won the victory. But then we get to continue in verse 4. Not only does he talk about here faith resulting in the victory, and he talks about the victory that Christ won, but now he talks about the victory experienced. The victory experienced. And I'm talking about not just when we put our faith and trust in Christ, but I'm talking about continuing to experience the victory over the world that He won for us. The beginning of verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." You know what that is? Present tense. Continues to overcome. Not just has overcome, but has and continues to. You know, you can overcome something and then be overwhelmed by it. It can overcome you again. It can take over. It is not just that we won the victory, but we keep on winning the victory. Through whom? Through Him. Through Him who won the victory and continues to give us the opportunity, the ability, and the power to experience the victory daily. Over the world, first of all. The world pressures us to conform. Do not be conformed, Romans 12:2, to the world. Do not be conformed. What do you mean? Don't be conformed. Why is that such a big deal? Because the world is pressuring us every day, everywhere we turn, through the TV, through whatever media you choose to follow. Go on the internet, you'll be challenged. The world will pop up real quick and smack you right in the face, right in the eyeballs. We get it from every front. And the world is seeking this system which is diametrically opposed, this world system that's diametrically opposed to the ways of God. And therefore, it pressures us to be conformed to its image, be conformed to its likenesses, its desires, its norms, its standards. And trust me, God's standards and God's norms are different than this world. And if you've been asleep, wake up and see it. They're different. And we're continually pressured by the world. We've earned the right to worry, right? No, God doesn't want us to worry. God don't want us to become anxious, but that's okay as far as the world's concerned. If you see something you want, you go get it, because it's okay. It doesn't matter what you do in the process of getting it, because you deserve that. You don't like being married? Divorce. Marry someone else. That's okay, according to the world. Must be okay according to the world. And it's becoming way too okay with the church today. Because the norms are different in the world than the standards set by God Himself through His Word and for His kingdom. Those who are born of God, verse 4 in the first part, overcome, continue to overcome. And then you get to verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Here you go. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Continually overcomes, once again, the present tense. The one who continually overcomes the world. In his daily life, he continues to overcome the pressures of the world to be conformed to the standards and norms of this world. Who is the one who does that? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Not an intellectual assent, but he who believes, he who trusts in Jesus as the one who died for them and is now born of God. By faith and by trust in Him, we continue to overcome. We continue to experience the victory over the things that would pressure us in this daily life to go contrary to the will of God. Whether it be in our thought life or whether it be in action. It's very much, I believe, like Hebrews chapter 11. That whole chapter of the hall of faith, we call it, the people who were commended for their faith in God. In verse 33 it says, who by faith conquered. And what all they conquered, we can conquer. Because we have the same God. The same God who's provided the victory. The same God who has overcome and who will continue as we trust in Him to enable us to overcome whatever it is. Whatever it is that hinders us from being the disciples that God has called us to be, the followers of Christ, the holy, truly devoted followers of Him. Whatever it hinders that, He will give us the power to overcome. I think of Romans 8:37. In all things, we not just conquer, we overwhelmingly conquer through Christ who loved us so. We're not just conquerors, folks. We are those who overwhelmingly conquer. Why? Because we are born of the conqueror. We have Him living in us. We have Him to empower us. And as we walk by the Spirit, yield to the Spirit of God who is in our lives as believers, He will allow us not to carry out the desires of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh are to do what the world would have us to do. Conform to the rules and the norms of this world. And I can tell you, it's not pleasing to God. Chuck Swindoll says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Not a reluctant hunch, he says, not some fairy tale dream, but an accomplished fact, as solid as granite and twice as sure. Overcoming victory claimed by faith. Is it for everyone? No. The majority? No. Read it again. It's only for those who are born of God. Only God's born ones are the true overcomers. Does it mean then that we won't have sorrow? No. It means we will be able to overcome it. We'll trade it in. Live in His victory in spite of the sorrow. How? By faith. Just as He promised, by staking my hope on the absolute assurance that He is aware of my situation, He is in charge of it, and He will give all the grace I need to sail through it, rough seas and all. One stormy day at a time. Sorrow and her grim family of size may drop by for a visit, but they won't stay very long when they realize that faith got there first and doesn't ever plan to leave. May we, by faith, experience the victory continually. What are your birthmarks? What are your birthmarks? Spiritually speaking, what are your birthmarks? And I ask you these questions, first of all. Are you marked with love that is expressed through joyful obedience? Are you marked with love that is expressed through joyful obedience? Are you marked by faith, by trust in Him who is the victor, resulting in victory? Are you overcoming? On a consistent, regular basis, are you overcoming, or is the world getting the best? Are you being defeated? Are you living in victory over those circumstances and sorrow and trouble and trial and whatever it might be? In Christ, you are an overcomer. In Christ, you are an overcomer. May you and may I live up to our name as overcomers today and in the days ahead. You know, it's time to worship. It's time to celebrate, I believe, the fact that through Him, through Christ, we have overcome and we continue to overcome through trust in Him. Let us worship Him, and as we continue to worship and celebrate the victory that He has provided for us, you'll have an opportunity to declare the ways that God has allowed you to overcome. And maybe there are ways that you still are looking for that victory. You can proclaim that to God as well. Let's worship and celebrate the overcomer, and share in this time of celebration as God directs in your heart.